when you can't express yourself as you want to because your voice doesn't cooperate with your mind, it sometimes can become a bit frustrating. And particularly this week, because I've had a song on my heart all week long, and I was singing it inside before I could make enough of a sound to actually sing it where someone could hear it. But since I believe it lines up with exactly what the Lord is wanting me to share with you on the first Sunday of this new year. More in 2004 is our motto for this year. And we said, number one, more love. More of God's love in our hearts. I kept thinking of this old song. You've heard it a lot of times, but you've never heard it the way I sing it. And I'll sing it for you this morning, God giving me the grace, because it really does say what I want to say. It really does bring the message of God's love and gives you a glimpse into the nature of God that as only a poet can do. Most of you know that the last verse was found written on the wall of a prison. Somebody, while in jail, had actually written this last verse in addition to the two that was already written. This last one came into being, and I think it's the most beautiful of all. I don't know if he was a poet or not, but I know this: God spoke through that man. Who he was, only God knows. Here's the way it is. Here's the song. Here's the message. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from this sin. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure will still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. I tell you, that to me is one of the greatest songs that was ever written, because it expresses something that maybe gets close to revealing the depths and the heights and the widths and the lengths of the love of God. In fact, Paul says, I'm praying for you, brethren at Ephesus. I'm praying for you to know the love of God, which is unknowable. It surpasses knowledge. It is beyond anything that that language can express. And the reason for that is because it is infinite. Oh, what a word. Infinite. It goes beyond anything that words can describe. It's like eternity without beginning, without end. Amen. Infinite without beginning, without end. There is no end. And it expresses the nature of God. For the Bible says, God is love. God is love. Now, what does that all mean? It means that is His nature. That's in His true essence. God is an expression of love that is beyond human understanding. And for me to be able, or me to say, or you to say, I just can't understand it. That's normal. That's what we have to say. I cannot understand the love of God, Brother Billy. I can't understand His love for me. Sometimes I can understand that better than I can understand His love for you. We all think that at times, because we see some that we might think are more difficult to love. But God, see, God has a love for all of us. And His love for all of us is exactly the same and has the same end in mind. God loves us so much that He wants and has a plan to bless us. Amen. He has, in His plan, He wants to bring us peace and joy and I believe everything that it takes to bring that about in our lives, whatever that may be. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be happy. Amen. To be full of joy. That's what He really desires for us. And many of the things that He requires are meant to bring us into the kind of life where those qualities can be enjoyed. Holiness and happiness and true spiritual joy. The things that He wants and that He shares with us, the commandments that have been given to us, had one thing in mind. If you live this way, you'll be happy. And if you don't, you won't. Amen. That's just the way. So God wasn't giving commandments for His benefit. He didn't make up 10 commandments that was going to profit Him in some way. The commandments were given to profit us. For if we live the way God has told us, and in fact even commanded us to live, if we live that way, we can be holy and happy. Amen. And at peace with both God and man. Hallelujah. Yes, He has that in mind. Now the scripture says, and what is our response? God loves us this much because that's who He is and that's the way He is. What is our response to all of this? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and there are many scriptures in the Bible that talk about the love of God, but one of the first commandments came in Hebrews and in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when God was giving the law through His servant Moses. He said, "Hear, O Israel," verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Verse 5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart." Now, isn't that an interesting little phrase? These commandments that I'm giving you today must be upon your heart. It's not a matter of our just memorizing these commandments and having them as a part of our head. He said, "I want you to get these in your heart." Amen. Get these commandments and this commandment, I want you to get in your heart. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul or mind, and with all your strength. Jesus repeated that in His teachings in Matthew chapter, what is it, chapter 22? I think it was chapter 22, verse 34. The scripture says, hearing that, Jesus silenced the Sadducees, hearing that He had done this, hearing that He had been able to answer all their questions and brought them to the place where they were afraid to ask anything else, because He answered their questions with such a direct word of truth that, and oftentimes by asking them a question regarding their own life and regarding their own experience. And they, once it had been heard that the Sadducees had been silenced by the answers that Jesus gave, the Pharisees got one of their experts and sent him. Pharisees have experts. They know exactly what questions to ask. You see, they had a high opinion of themselves, and they looked down on almost everyone else. And so now that they had heard, the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had answered the Sadducees in such a way that they didn't have anything to say, they sent one of their experts to Jesus with a question. "Teacher," they ask, "which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Then He said, "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Everything written in the law and everything written in the prophets hangs upon these two commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which will always regulate your actions toward God. And I believe it will also regulate your actions toward others. And Jesus said, "Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love others, love your neighbors." And one said, Well, now, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave the parable, you remember, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he said, in that parable, he actually was saying, I'll tell you who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is anyone who is in need that you have the power to help. That's your neighbor. That's the one. So you let your love be shown to your neighbor, because when you love your neighbor, you're actually loving me. Amen. Now, there are four questions that could be asked when we think of this commandment that God has given, upon which the whole law and prophets hang. Who is to love God? Who is to love God? Who are the ones that are commanded to love God? The Jews, of course, were commanded to love God. He must have meant then that believers should love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So he's literally saying it is, since God is the creator of us all, and that in the creative sense, the father of us all, in the creative sense, he is the father of us all. He was saying, it's your responsibility. All men are to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves. That's what he said. So that no one is excused from this. No one can say, well, I know that it's right to love God, but you don't know my neighbors. You haven't met this person or that person. You don't know what a hellish person they are. Or you wouldn't be wanting to require me to have love for them. Well, let me ask you, what kind of person were you when God manifested His love toward you? What kind of a person was I when God first extended His love and mercy to me? God is known for expressing His love even to the most wicked who will open their heart to Him and say, God, I'm unworthy. God loves the unworthy who will admit it, and He resists those who will not admit it. Amen. Those who humbly admit their unworthiness are going to be especially favored of God, and those who will not admit or confess their unworthiness, even though God loves them, He cannot have a relationship with them until there is humility, a depth of humility in their spirit that causes them to say, oh God, I'm unworthy. Father, I'm unworthy, but I ask for your mercy. Yes, all of us are to love God. Now, why is this so important? Why is it so important that we love God? As I thought about this in studying and meditating over these things, why is it so necessary? Because I believe the pursuit of man is to experience some kind of joy and peace in this world. And I do not believe you can find it apart from a genuine understanding of who God is and actually begin to love God, begin to really love Him. Now, what does it mean to love God? It means to be devoted to God, devoted to His will, devoted to His ways, devoted to His commandments. Because He is only asking, as I've already said, He only requires me to do what He knows is going to be in my best interest. It's going to help me. So why would he want me to love? Because the person who has genuine love in their heart for God and for others, I believe those kind of people are the happiest of all people. That doesn't mean they can't be hurt. You've got to love enough to be hurt. If you don't love enough that somebody, that the person you love can hurt you, then you probably are not emotionally enough involved to even say you have genuine love for that person. But it hurts when we see, or when we see others hurting, because we have a love in our heart for them. Amen. We sometimes weep when we see people in the condition that they're in, not because they may be our relatives, that is, our blood kin, but we hurt for them because we have the love of God in our heart that causes us to feel like God feels toward those that are in trouble of one kind or another. It hurts me to see God's people frustrated and confused at times. And all of us get there at times. All of us have that kind of experience, and we don't know exactly what to do. And sometimes in our hurt, we tend to hurt others. We don't mean to do that. We're not bad people. It's just that sometimes, like an animal who is hurt, when we try to heal a hurt person or a hurt animal, they might try to bite us. Amen. But love causes us to risk the bite. Amen. We risk the bite because we have a genuine love in our heart for people who are hurting. Amen. And that's, I think, gets to the next question. How do we show this love? How do we show this love? How do we show God we love Him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength? I believe we show our love for God by obedience to His will as it is revealed in His Word. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do what I am telling you to do. Amen. We love Him when we follow His will as it's revealed. We show our love for Him by doing the things. You see, some of us, we use this word love rather lightly, maybe even as lightly as the young lover engaged to the woman that he expected to marry, gave her a call and told her how much he loved her. Why, he said, I'd climb the highest mountain and swim the widest sea. And if it's not raining Saturday, I'll come over to see you. Amen. You see, sometimes we get all carried or swept away by some emotional feelings at a moment, but I'll tell you what makes the difference. It's that who really loves, it's that person who just does the same thing. Amen. See, I don't go around telling my wife every day how much I love her. I don't have to. It's all right. I tell her occasionally, and maybe not as often as I should, but I, you see, maybe we ought to think about St. Francis of Assisi's words when he said, preach the gospel if you have to use words. Maybe if you have to express your love for somebody, maybe you ought to be saying, express your love for people. If you have to, use words. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Because words won't mean anything unless you are living a life that expresses your love and you show it in all the things you do, or most of the things you do at least. In a lot of the things you do. Amen. And your life, what you do corresponds with what you say. And it doesn't matter what you say if your actions do not correspond with that. Amen. Yes, we ought to be able to say with our mouth to all of our brothers and sisters in the body, we ought to be able to say from the heart, I love you. I really love you. But unless we're willing to back that up with our actions, those words are empty. Amen. When I say I love you, that means I'm committed to you. If you're in trouble, I'm going to be there to help you. If you're in need, I'm going to share what I have with you. If somebody is tearing you down, I'm going to build you up. If somebody's talking about you, I'm going to defend you. Why? Because you're always right? No. Because I love you. Amen. I'm going to defend the person that I love. So we show our love for God by obedience to Him. I think we show our love when we're in His house, when we come to church, when we pay our tithes and give our offerings. I think we're expressing love for God when we're opening the book and studying His Word for the purpose of knowing Him better. Long time ago, I quit reading the Bible to try to figure out what to preach. I tell you, once I began to read the Bible to find out what God was saying to me, my whole life changed. Amen. And this is why I study the Word of God. I want to know what He's saying to me. And it's like a mirror. And when I look into it, I see some things. If I had any hair, I'd talk about that. But you can see the defects in your life when you look into the Word of God. And you're not looking there just to see the defects, but it shows you how they can be corrected. Amen. It shows you what to do to correct the defects in your life so that you can be beautiful in the eyes of Almighty God, your Heavenly Father. Hallelujah! I want to be beautiful in His eyes. Oh, I'd like to be beautiful in the eyes of other people. That's why I try to... I'd like to be presentable at least, but that's not what's important. I want His approval. Amen. I want Him to be able to say, "Hey, you look good today, son. You look wonderful." And it doesn't have a thing to do with the clothing you have on. It's the spirit you manifest. Because you have on that sweet and kind and loving spirit, you're living exactly and manifesting the same kind of attitude that Jesus Himself manifests. I want to be like Jesus, don't you? Oh, and I know I can be more and more like Him if I just study His Word and study how to be more like Jesus. Amen. And if it is, here's the question, how can this be done by mere mortals? How can we have this love? Well, the Scripture says the love of God in the 5th chapter and verse 8 of Romans, the Scripture says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. Amen. Do I want more love? How do I receive it? I have to have more of His Spirit in me. More of His Spirit. There has to be a merging of my spirit with His Spirit. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not just to have some manifestation of the Spirit, such as speaking in tongues or miracles or gifts of healings or that kind of thing, though that may be a part of it. What actually happens when you get full of the Holy Spirit, there is a merging of your spirit with His Spirit so that you become one in the Spirit. Amen. And anyone who manifests whatever gift of the Spirit that may be seen in the Scriptures who does not have the nature of Jesus inborn. Paul simply asked the question, what good is that? What good is that? What good is it simply to be able to manifest the gifts of the Spirit if you do not have the fruit of the Spirit, basically, which is love? For everything works out of love, even faith. Faith works by love. Amen. And God is wanting us to be filled with faith. And to be filled with faith, I must be filled with love. that will manifest itself not only toward God, but will manifest itself toward others. Hallelujah. It's easy to love my wife. It's easy for me to love her. And I notice that it's very easy for you to love her. And in fact, sometimes when I've resigned from pastoring a church, they've said, well, hallelujah, bye, but just leave your wife. Just leave your wife right here. This week we will be celebrating our 56th wedding anniversary. It's easy to love her because she has the Spirit of Jesus in her. I wish I had it a little more of it in me, more that manifests itself. I think I have maybe as much of the Spirit, but it manifests itself in a different way in her than maybe it does in me. But I've watched her through the years. I've watched her sit with the former prostitutes in the church that nobody wanted to sit with. I've watched her pick out people in the church that others didn't make much of an effort to hug and show any kind of love toward. That's the one she gravitates toward, to love that person. See, it's easy to love some people, more difficult to love others. We need to find the ones that are the most difficult to love and express our love for them. And somebody that gets love this morning, we're going to say, I guess I'm one of those that's most difficult to love. Those kind of thoughts come to your mind when you're preaching, you know. So I can see that Velma's over there, but one of these that's most difficult to love here this morning. Listen, if all of us were known, if all of our faults were known, none of us would have people running to love us. Amen. He knows all of our faults and loves us in spite of them. Amen. And I want that Spirit, don't you? I want that Spirit in my heart. And oh, I tell you, it's yet to be seen what God will do through a church or a body of people that will begin to get that kind of love operating in them. So my prayer is more love in 2004. Hallelujah. More of God's love in my heart. That's what I want. How many is a candidate for that? That's what I want. I want more of His love. Amen. And the good part is you can have it. It's not something that's beyond your reach. It's within the reach of every one of us. And it's only a matter of reaching out to Him and saying, Lord, I want more of You. Because with Him comes love. So I don't focus on just on love. I know that if I have more of Him, I'll have more of His love. Amen.